I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Harry's ad, Harry's ad, starting with a Harry's ad. Have you got a Harry's? Add some Harry's to your hairy, sad life.
Bag.
Today's episode is brought to you by Harry's. Harry's, thank you.
My Lord,
thank you, Harry's.
Harry's,
I'm going to come clean with the
Harry's,
audience.
Harry's is my Lord.
Harry's is my Lord, and Harry's hasn't ever sponsored this podcast. We've done all of this pro bono because that's how much we believe in the Harry's.
Well, that's right.
Cause.
We've done it pro bono in exchange for ad money.
Yeah. And we love it. And I got so much to say about Harry's later on in the show. Mm. I can't wait.
I can't wait to hear it.
It's going to be about what you can get. It's going to be about a deal. Mm. I'm going to be throwing around words like travel blade cover and, you know, weighted ergonomic handle, that kind of stuff. So just brace yourself. I'm going to be piecing all of these morsels together into one fragrant mouthful.
Absolutely.
And I love a fragrant mouthful.
Yep. Harry's wants to be able to eat that foam.
Yeah, I want to eat that foam. Yes, I'd like to take it home, put it in my mouth and go, I've got a bone for foam. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
We're only going to do one note this episode.
There's been some issues with the recordings recently. We haven't been able to be sure that we're recording onto two separate tracks.
Yep.
So we've decided instead the way around it, what we'll do is Alistair will talk in a high-pitched voice, I'll talk in a low voice, and then we'll be able to filter our voices out in different frequency bands, and then that will allow us to mix them so that the volumes are appropriate.
Yeah.
Won't be able to fix the pitch, but the volumes will be perfect.
That's right, because we've recently been recording at the office in a little random office, and I speak quietly out of awkwardness, and Andy refuses to speak below about 80 decibels.
Well, but George said that on the most recent episode, I sounded quiet, so I've got to shout, apparently. I'm being silenced.
Don't worry, you do.
Alistair, look, this is my attitude, right? If we're doing this, we might as well be
overheard and obnoxious about it.
Correct.
Andy, look. In no way am I doing this consciously. I want you to know that I must have something in my past that makes me retreat and retreat within myself and be very quiet and doesn't allow me to be very entertaining when I feel like I'm being judged.
Well, not a lot of people know this, but that you come from a long line of podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Your father was a podcaster. Yeah. Your grandfather was a podcaster.
You know, that's actually true, but about peach growing. I come from peach growing people, Andy, and you've probably been able to tell that.
That explains your furry bum.
Yes, well, that's
your cute little furry
bum. You'd be surprised that how accurate that is. Have you ever seen my bum?
No.
No.
No, oh. I don't think I have. I mean, I've imagined.
Of course, Andy.
I'm sure all the listeners have.
Yeah.
I wonder what his butt looks like.
Well, people don't realize that I actually do this podcast speaking sort of Ace Ventura style through my butt, and every syllable I pull that cheek back, and every sign, every little.
Wait, what? I don't think the cheeks get pulled at all.
Doesn't he?
Oh no, that's right. Mm. You're right. He bends down.
Yeah.
But then he does pull the butt.
Yeah, and every pause, I push him back together. And make him into a frowny face while the other person talks.
So you are...
Because my butt has resting bitch face.
You make them into a frowny face. How would you do that?
Just push them together and make it look like their lips are pursed or something.
But horizontally, right? Well, you'd have to be lying on your side for that to be a...
Andy, in the world of the butt,
yeah,
the face is side on.
Mm.
I'm not saying I'm making it into a human face. Mm-hmm. I'm not folding my butt into a face. I'm saying it has a frowny butt face.
Frowny butt face.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a bit once upon a time about what it would be like if your butt cheeks were horizontal.
Yeah.
And how it would be bad. That was as far as I went into it, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you would have that shelf that everything would sort of slide
exactly,
over.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, but maybe never, you know, I don't think it's got enough of a cliff edge that it might even fall off the edge.
No, it would
might just
roll
slide down.
Down,
then maybe down your leg.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could stick a foot into the toilet.
Mm. Unless it went right down the middle to the gooch.
Mm.
But then I guess it could be stored behind the bag.
Yeah, it becomes lodged behind the bag.
Yeah.
Like a baby, like an embryo of a kangaroo crawling out from the reproductive tract and then up and then through the fur and into the pouch. The most insane system ever.
Yeah.
This would be like that, but for poos.
Yeah.
When they go down and then they nestle in there behind the bag.
I'm glad we don't have that insane system for our own human bodies.
Yeah.
I wonder if kangaroos ever have like birds come along during that process of a youngling climbing up.
And just peck off
just come and snatch it up because that's perfect bird eating size.
It is. It is. It's a little morsel.
You'd be on high alert if you were that mama. And maybe even if the dad's around. I wonder if the dad hangs out for that.
I'd hope so.
Mm.
Yeah. Fending. I'm now banging on the walls here, by the way.
Just trying to
if anyone heard that. we weren't getting enough looks of disgust.
Through the window. So let's see if we can get people on the other side of the walls to come and see, investigate what's going on.
That'd be so good, you know, in The Simpsons, that bit where he's got that really greasy burger and he rubs it on the window and...
he rubs it on the wall.
Rubs it on the wall, rather, sorry, and the wall becomes translucent. Mm. Be great if you could have that in order to put a window in anywhere in your house, just some kind of greasy product.
I think in a way people are waiting for that product to be made.
Mm.
You know, that
it can make anything.
Yeah, it's so greasy it can make anything into a window. Like sort of like a frosted window like you would have for a bathroom.
Mm. I mean, I guess what we're describing here is a kind of invisibility, isn't it? Like that's
but it's like
it
an
offers.
Invisibility pen.
Mm.
But also it's kind of visible through its frostiness. So it's an infrostability.
Because we absolutely have the opposite of that, right?
Where like, we can color something in.
And it's no longer... you take something that's transparent like a window and you can get one of those chalk pens or paint or whatever and stick it on and suddenly it's it's opaque.
Yeah.
You know? And it's amazing that you can make something opaque like that. That's all it takes. All it takes is one little bit of opaque and something's opaque.
That's right.
But transparent is an absolute. You know, something's got to be totally transparent for it to be transparent.
You know who I feel bad for?
Yes.
It's the rays of the sun.
Mm.
You know, because sometimes...
Coming all the way from the sun and then being stopped by...
Yeah, like, you know, even an ant. An ant walking along the thing creates this bit of shadow and you go, you didn't make it, buddy.
So my
mind,
close.
In my mind, sun rays want to touch our Earth.
Mm. Mm. Well... You'd be so hyped. As we know, the rays are formed deep within the core of the Earth as gamma rays in the fusion of hydrogen. Then they bounce around for ages, losing energy until they emerge from the surface of the sun as visible light. And it takes them thousands of years to get out of the core of the sun.
It's crazy.
They come all that way, bam, into an ant.
Into an ant, maybe a leaf strategically placed in order to capture the sun. You know,
you're
like
right.
That's trees' whole purpose.
Mm.
Their whole survival depends on thwarting the sun's wishes.
Thwarting the sun's wishes. They're dependent on the sun,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing that they are so willing to bite the hand that feeds them, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, the sun might at one point collapse or explode just to spite them.
Just out of rage.
Yeah. I mean, just think of the percentage of its rays that get blocked.
Mm.
I mean, so many of its rays go in the complete opposite direction.
It's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, is there any sketches in this? Like, I know that for this is just a, you know, call me a bit human-centric in my view of the universe. And I know the you know, we're not...
Homophilic.
I'm a bit homophilic, I suppose. Paleocentric?
Paleo. I don't think paleo is what you want. Paleo is like rocks and stuff.
Yeah, geocentric. Well, that's the Earth. That's actually the Earth.
That is
in the center.
Yes.
And then the Sun. I know that. So I know the Earth isn't in the center. You know, and I know the Sun isn't the center of the universe or whatever.
Or except that we
except
know
that everything is.
Everything is the center of the universe. Yeah.
But I reckon some stuff is actually probably more.
A bit more the center.
Yeah. In that if you go in closer to the middle of everything, yeah, I guess then that would be more the center. But whatever, they wanna argue mathematically.
The fucking arrogance of you right now, trying to pass this off like you're dodging scrutiny with this cute little voice you're doing and thinking that you could put this out there into the world and you're going to look somehow cool.
I mean, look, just
like
because
you don't even care.
Just because everything started in the same point, it's all moving out, blah, 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 right, doesn't mean there's a bit that's a bit more equidistant from every other bit.
You're absolutely right.
There's got to be a spot.
There absolutely does not have to be a spot.
Well, no, there is.
But there isn't.
Just because you can't see exactly where the edges are, because there are no edges, doesn't mean...
There aren't edges.
There isn't.
Where if some things aren't a little bit closer to them than other things.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a rough edge. You know, you could get a rough edge idea of the edge.
I think you presenting your common sense physics course is a sketch.
All right. Common sense physics.
Yeah. Nobel Prize for fucking common sense, mate. I was thinking about a Nobel Prize for something recently. Nobel Prize for capitalism. Yeah.
Very good. I just
whoever earns the most money in a year gets $1 million.
That's really good. I wonder who funds that.
That's from the Nobel. Whatever the money is.
Yeah, the Nobel.
That's a prize, right? If the Nobel Prize is $1 million, you get $1 million.
But that was 100 million?
No, I just said $1 million.
Oh, you just said $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I would love to get $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the common sense physics things would be like, look, a lot of people don't understand what gravity is. But it's just, it's the thing that pulls us down. Of course, you don't know how it works, but it doesn't, like, it just does.
It
and that's
does.
What's important.
That's what
it's
it
like,
does.
It does what 95% of people in their jobs don't do. Its job, you know? And do you want to start questioning it? Like you don't trust it?
Do you think that maybe a way to get around gravity, because people are always looking for anti-gravity, a way to avoid the surly bonds of Earth's gravity.
Sure.
Would be if we could in some way give gravity a mobile phone so it does get distracted.
Yeah.
I think we did this recently. We did this not too long ago, giving them to every creature in the animal kingdom. But now I think if we could create a mobile phone, a smartphone, that could be used by the fundamental force of gravity, that might give us just that window of opportunity when it's distracted, like when the guard is sleeping every 7.5 hours.
If we give it screen time, specifically between certain hours, then that would be the perfect time to launch a rocket. So that, you know, that way its phone, you know, it's not always looking at its phone, doesn't become addicted. So in that way, you know, we can still rely on it to keep us, say, grounded on Earth most of the time.
But gravitational waves, you know, we haven't learned to manipulate them yet, but when we can, let's use those waves to make some sort of highly addictive form of entertainment, whatever the gravity version of reality TV is.
Well, falling out of a plane,
a
lot of people find that addictive already. So imagine being able to do that for people on land. You know? Maybe by fluctuating the amount of gravity that you're feeling, you could have a sensation of falling at all times.
Wouldn't that be great?
And that could be...
People with vertigo, I'll say this for them, they always seem entertained. you never see them bored in any way. No one ever says, I have vertigo and it's boring.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in conclusion...
There's nothing more entertaining than a sense of wooziness,
mm-hmm.
nausea.
Can we write down distracting gravity as a sketch idea?
Sure. How do you picture... I mean, look, you're usually good at these kinds of things when it comes to actually making something.
Mm.
Thank
you for saying that, Alistair.
But...
In a how movie, do I picture that playing out?
How do you picture it playing out? See, this is what I imagine your answer would be, is that we won't show it.
Mm.
You know, we won't show... We won't try to create a manifestation of gravity that we can put on screen.
Mm.
But then, you know, what if it was for kids?
What if you did?
You'd
what
kinda, if it was you for know, kids? You'd want kids to be able to understand. It's what do you think would be a downward arrow?
Can I just say that what this has made me want to do is make a sketch in which gravity is personified.
Sure.
Right? Mm. And it is gravity is a guy. And he's probably wearing like a black morph suit or something like that. And he's walking around. And whenever somebody jumps or something like that, he grabs them and pulls them back down again.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he's pulling things, apples out of trees, putting them on the ground.
Yep.
And, you know, pushing over small children.
When there's demolitions happening of a building, he's up on top.
Yep.
Standing on top. Yep. And then they're going, and then he's like.
Jumping.
Jumping on it. knocking it over.
But I do like that he physically does stuff with the force of, you know. So, because when you're jumping on things to knock them down, you would be, you would still be relying on gravity to actually do the falling component. But if he's down there with a rope or something like that, pulling it down, that
that
meets my criteria for successful gravity personification. Well,
maybe he could have a rope while he's up on top of the building.
Mm.
And then it's anchored to the ground and he's pulling it down as the building goes down. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really, really good.
There you go.
It goes down between his legs all the way down to the ground.
Or he's got a vertical. He's got a vertical rowboat that he just rows downwards. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people have done like, you know, surfboards or like snowboards when they jump out of a plane.
Yeah.
Anybody done a rowboat? I think a rowboat would be a great thing to be. To like, whoa.
There was a bit in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom where they jump out of a crashing aeroplane in an inflatable life raft and then land on the side of a mountain in the snow.
Oh, sounds not too bad, but it's not a hard rowboat. Wooden rowboat, two rows with a little... A little hook, not you know, a little holster on each side, so you can.
Yep. What is that called? That's called a rollick. That little holster.
A rollick. Yeah.
A rollick. A rollicking good time.
Absolutely.
When we talked about the other episode about having those shoes that would allow you to run in the air, we could adapt that technology to the vertical rowboat, which is basically just a dinghy that sits on its stern facing up into the air, and then has long oars that come out the side. And then the end of the oar, the paddly bit, is the same technology we were talking about for that like big expanding foot sail, and that would allow you to just row your way up into the air. And this is, again, looking very close to flight with just wings, just bird wings. But the important thing is you're doing it in a boat and you're doing it in a seated position.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lie, I missed some of the beginning of that.
Look.
But...
Didn't we all?
But we all have different jobs that we have to do during these things. Andy.
Gravity Man.
Here's the pulliest down of them all. Pulliest down. He would be the pulliest person if he was personified.
Mm-hmm. He would be the pulliest.
The pulliest.
This is part of a broader thing of us where, you know, because personification sketches have been the bread and butter of sketch comedy since that first sketch where somebody was like, what if we personified bread and butter?
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
And we are just taking that to an even further.
One person in a black T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Another person in a black T-shirt.
Yeah.
One had a little sign that said bread.
Yeah.
The other one said butter.
And the one who was bread was like, dude, it's starting to get a bit creepy.
Yeah. But one person, then there's a person who runs a household, you know.
So they're in a black T-shirt and they have a sign on them that says household runner.
Breadwinner. When they're walking home with one of each person under their arm. Honey, kids, I have dinner.
Yep.
It's about poverty.
I absolutely had toast for dinner the other night.
Did you?
Yep.
Was it?
Toast with avocado. Well, so it really kicks it
into gear, that's something. You see, now that's gone from bleak to...
an outrageous display.
Of middle class wealth. You know, it really is. It's like... it's just one fruit, and you've put it in there, and you've embarrassed yourself and me.
An entire avocado kingdom. Hipsters stockpiling their huge warehouses full of avocados, constructing a throne, the avocado throne.
Out of the nuts?
No, just out of avocado.
Oh,
just
it wouldn't last
raw,
long.
Raw, soft avocado.
Just like... you know, he built it when it was like they were sort of 2-3 days from being ripe, so they were unbelievably hard.
Yeah, so you thought this will never crumble.
Yeah. My avocado kingdom.
I shall build my palace on the firmest of all foundations.
An avocado 3 days from being ripe.
But to my surprise, 3 days later, what should occur?
Was it ripeness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets really bad sort of 2 days after that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You try and sit down and you break through that skin.
I think.
And you've got brown on you.
Oh, no, there's no skin. I've peeled the skin off. It's loose, open avocado flesh.
What is going on
here? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really ill-advised, Alistair. I've made a huge mistake.
It's the illest.
It's the illest. But... you know, I think that's an even more, you know, if we're talking displays of wealth, the fact that I can build a perishable temple from the softest of all fruits is, you know, is extremely ostentatious.
What's it called? The big chair? Throne.
The avocado throne of my hipster kingdom. Winter knits are coming. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Andy...
The irony throne. That would be the hipster throne.
Oh, no. Mm. Tell me about this brand you brought up earlier.
Harry's.
Yeah.
.com/thinktank.
Who are they?
Oh, well, they're just, I guess, the future. I'd like to introduce you to the future.
Well, see, I'm only familiar with the present.
Well, that's good because these are available right now. But if you've heard of the past, you'll love this as well because they are using a German factory with over... and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, 700 billion years of engineering experience.
So I hear there's something
for everyone.
They're using atoms that were forged at the beginning of the universe?
Correct. That's how connected to history they are. That's how much reverence they have for the old way of doing things.
Yeah.
They're using molecules that have been extant since the dawn of time. Humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and the secret to a great shave has not changed very much, Alistair. And that is going to harrys.com/thinktank. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/thinktank. You will get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Now, Alistair, my face is so craggy these days, so wrinkled with folds and crevices that I actually do my entire face with just that little extra trimmer blade. That you normally just use for getting up under the nose.
Yeah.
I do the whole thing with that, getting deep into the canyons and to the peaks of the mountains.
Yeah, well, you know, before I
and
was...
And it's still a good shave. I look so smooth.
Yeah, well, right now I'm looking at you, and it is like looking at a freshly shorn face of a baby.
It's looking
that you've shaved.
Yeah, yeah, and I do shave my babies because after I'd been shaving with Harry's, when the baby came out, I felt its face, and I was like, actually, a little bit rough.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I've been using sandpaper, and that has
helped.
No, it hasn't been as good.
No, dear. So harrys.com/think tank. harrys.com/think tank.
Think tank. You did it, Andy.
Get yourself that trial set. And I'll tell you what it isn't. A trial. It's actually a joy. They should call it a joy set. Yep. They should call it a show trial set because the outcome is such a foregone conclusion that everybody knows. It's a kangaroo court. You know,
but
it makes a mockery of justice, this trial.
But for me,
yes,
I enjoy the law, and so every trial brings me joy.
Yeah,
that's just me.
Just like seeing it in action.
I even like trial by what's the public one?
Ordeal. Trial by media.
Trial by media. I even like that.
Yeah,
yeah, and I know that's still not law, but it's. It's like mock law. Mocks law.
Yeah, and I that's how much I love the law. I even love it when it's a mockery of it.
They make a mockery of it. Actually, in fact, it's more enjoyable because there's kind of humor injected in it.
Yeah. In my ideal world, every trial would be a mockery of justice.
It does feel like there should be a way to make law, you know, and justice a little bit better. It feels like...
A little bit funnier, you mean?
No, like...
Because I feel like maybe that's what they were trying to do with those wigs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely feels like they were failing at being entirely serious. Because it was really like, let's put something on our head and then dare people to laugh at us.
I don't know, because I think like it must have evolved at a time when that there was something about that did make you look more authoritative. And then times changed so quickly. Or I don't know, but it's at a certain point, it is just absurd. It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. This is the exact opposite of what you were trying to achieve with this whole wig situation in the first place, and yet you persist.
It kind of has the look of those, you know, those alien civilizations and films that have the big brains and that you stand in front of them and their brains pulse.
Mm-hmm.
I had to feel a bit of that, you know? Because it's like there is something alien about it. Well, who has their hair and that many braids and so tightly packed together like that? Really, I think it was supposed to be transporting, you know, taking you outside of the regular world and take you into. And I think that there's other ways that we can do that, you know? Maybe a nice silver finish on everything.
On the judges themselves, you know, and the lawyers. Sort of,
absolutely.
Bit of face paint or something like that. Like it's in absolutely the same realm, and there's no reason why that couldn't, like in a parallel universe, there is one where the judges do everything in silver face paint.
Dipped in gold.
Yeah.
Like sort of one of Goldfinger's or Goldmember's, like side chicks.
Goldfinger's or Goldmember's.
Both equally as valid villains.
They more or less are. I mean, James Bond is already sort of a parody, isn't it? Like, it's sort of a joke.
Yeah.
A joke thing. Certainly sometimes more than other times.
Yeah, and what is it a joke on? I guess the idea of real...
Yeah.
Of real people who do that.
Yeah, spies or whatever.
I guess it's a joke by making it seem fun when a lot of the time it probably isn't fun, right?
Yeah. And, but, you know, yeah, the idea that he's... doing it all by being sexy and cool and...
And those things have achieved almost nothing ever. I would much rather one of those shows that's from the point of view of a honey trap.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there's probably already a TV series or a set of films about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It just kind of seems more... Because you can picture guys falling for a honey trap a lot more than you... I feel like you can picture women falling for like some sleazy guy who says he's a spy, which is, I mean, you know, possibly because of 007, such a weird, like, it's like it's a reality that guys like get cars with license plates that say 007 and things like that because they're like, yeah, that's who I am. He's like, you go, you're not. You're not in any way. And it's such a weird childish fantasy.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, it's not particularly true to life, is it?
No.
No, and like, it's already a joke in the show, kind of. And then you're impersonating that. I guess Austin Powers did a pretty good job of making fun of it.
You know what they're, what I think people in intelligence haven't used, much like a honey trap or, you know, a sexy male spy.
Mm.
Although a honey trap, I imagine, could be a male.
Mm.
It's just something that we're thinking about. Is the idea of giving out free food samples to lure in your prey.
Maybe even actual honey.
Maybe actual honey.
Honey's pretty expensive these days.
Yeah. And especially to get the stuff that isn't just that weird syrup that they've made up that's like fake honey.
Yeah. I wonder how prevalent that is as a problem.
I reckon you can probably, if you go to the supermarket and you see there's like a $2 difference between two jars, that's one of them is made with the syrup.
Yeah, right. I think it's very good. Because you can't pay bees less, can you? So where are you going to make your savings?
That's right.
Can't screw the bee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is this story? It's a spy story, right? In which rather than falling under the spell of a beautiful Russian woman, a spy is lured in
either using free samples.
Free samples
or a coupon.
A coupon.
Yeah. You know?
And then once they're there redeeming the coupon, they have such a good time.
Yeah.
They start revealing a few state secrets.
I mean.
Or the person says.
Who can say no to an open bar?
That's true.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go, there's a conference on and I can sneak you in to the open bar and people will fall for it straight away.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a sort of a friendship. There's no sex involved. There's just, you know, a good mate who can hook you up with stuff and gets you into fun parties and that sort of thing. And
I mean, I think this is what a lot of intelligence is. It's just like pretending to be another dad at the soccer game and then like getting to know some person who works in like nuclear physics or something like that. And then asking him for some documents. You say, oh, my kid's doing a thing on nuclear things. Do you have any documents? And then even if it's like something that's unimportant, you go, then you've established a scenario in which they give you documents. Mm.
And once they've given you documents, you can start to be like, you can use that to twist it against them and, you know, start to turn the screws and be like, well, you already gave me these documents.
Mm.
And I would hate for someone at your work to find out that you were doing that. So you better give me more documents.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the most suspicious thing about this entire scenario is we know that once you're an adult, you don't make any new friends.
Yeah, that is.
I think anyone trying to be your friend as an adult is automatically a spy.
Yeah, is an intelligence officer of some sort. And it makes, that makes a lot of sense to me. Because who needs the responsibility of hanging out with more people?
Hanging out with, who has the time?
And the only
it is so suspicious.
But the only reason you would is if, for some reason, they're like, "Hey, I've got one of those bars in my basement."
Mm.
And you go, "One of those bars?" Like, you know, you go, "Wow, free day drinking!" Like, if they invited you over, they say, "Bring your kids. Well, they can hang out, and we'll just like have sort of man cocktails like that."
And then I'll give them my nuclear secrets.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've given you so much. They've given you day freedom.
I think like any just suspicious adult friend is perfect, Alistair. As a as a thing, and you know, you don't even have to necessarily work in. I think it's maybe even funnier if you don't work in like in any sort of government agency or anything like that. You're just like quite a regular person working in sort of advertising sales for a local newspaper or something. You still got to be suspicious because you never know what kind of long con they're pulling.
I mean, these agents of influence, they want to influence all aspects.
Sometimes
it's just division. Maybe they want you to put something divisive in your ad. You know, who knows that in Australia we have some very bold lamb ads here. You know, I guess they want to get away from the fact that their whole thing is killing young sheep. And so what they do is they make it about like Australia Day, or they make it about
edgy thing about hipsters versus Aussies or
masculinity or
rights
for women or something like that.
And they do a parody ad. It's big from the Lamb Council.
Yeah.
This is what we have instead of having culture in this country.
and then we talk about it for about 3 weeks when it comes out and things like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of the people who works there has a new Russian friend or an Australian with a suspicious accent. Suspicious, you know, it's Australian sounding, but not quite.
Bit too Australian sounding. We love people not being able to do the Australian accent.
Yeah, it is.
It's endlessly entertaining, and I'm sure you in America love it when Australian stars come onto your tonight shows and they do some hilarious thing of getting the host to eat Vegemite. I'm sure when you see that every fucking time, every single week. Reactions are the same, that you find that just as entertaining as we do to see it being done.
It's so salty.
They say it's brown. Poo is brown. Those two things are equivalent. We laugh.
They just eat it by itself on a cracker or something like that. You go like, I don't know.
In the way that nobody does. It's like, we have salt over here in Australia, and that's why our stars go over there and make your hosts drink a cup of salt.
Yeah.
In the same way that we obviously consume it here. And I said, do we have some words from a listener?
What do you think? Oh, yeah, we're already there.
Yeah, I think we're there. A fashion.
We do, Andrew. Now, I have three words from a Patreon supporter, Stuart McCone.
No, Stumac.
Stumac. Hi, Stu.
Stumac McCarthy.
I think we might have done a Stu recently.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, hi, Stu.
Hi, Stu.
Now, I've already said these three words to you, Andrew, because I had to double check that we haven't done it, because I apparently have the worst system in existence for keeping track of these words.
I still wouldn't be able to guess them. They've gone from my mind.
Telling you that I've told you them. So do you want to try and guess now?
Yeah. Clostridium.
No.
Tarmac?
No.
Rigoletti.
What is that?
It's a type of pasta, I believe.
Oh, rigatoni?
Rigatoni.
Yeah.
I think rigoletti might be something as well. Anyway, was I close? Alistair has coronavirus, by the way. That's why he's blowing his nose.
Man, if I have it, I've had it for a long time, even before the...
Before the outbreak.
It was only just today that they recorded the first person-to-person transmission. So I got on it before it was cool, or at least before my body was cool. Felt really cool. The three words from Stu...
Yes.
...are investigative...
Yes. Ah.
...goat, portmanteau.
those are really great words. Those might be my favorite words we've ever had.
Wow.
Because they really paint such an abstract picture. An investigative goat portmanteau.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a portmanteau obviously being when you combine two words.
Well, portmanteau is one. So it's actually the mixture of the word portelli, which is a type of wine or wine-flavored jelly.
Yep.
And man from mant, which is short for manta ray. And A-U-A-E-A-U-O, which is sort of the old English, short for the old English version of ox.
Yeah, ox. What is the E I E I O for in old MacDonald? E I E I O. They haven't used that in any other songs. We've all, you know, we've had sort of la di da and obla di obla da and that sort of thing.
I don't
sort
know if they've used obla di obla da.
It's been used in most of the songs.
But that goo goo gachug.
Well, Alistair, I think we should just try. Because here we are, we're back in the podcast. You don't know at home because of the magic of editing.
But no, but this podcast has become very experimental.
We've put a partial 24 hours and an almost 100 kilometers between us and the previous podcast.
The previous sort of 50 minutes of the podcast or however long we did.
Yes, indeed. Forget we everything you in thought our you knew.
We were at one point in the office at work yesterday, and we are now in our individual homes recording on our own Zooms, speaking over the internet.
Yep. It's speaking over the internet and over the top of each other, and it's working so well.
We're absolutely dedicated to finishing this episode.
No matter how much we have to drop our standards below their already low point, we are willing to do that if that's what it takes to finish this episode in a manner that you will be unsatisfied with.
Well, Andy, I think what we're going to have to do in order to not speak over each other is that we can't take very many breaks when we talk, because in a break, that's when the other person thinks that they can get a word in.
Oh, yeah, no, that's... That's okay, so just to remind everybody where we're up to, because who knows, the audience themselves might have paused the podcast as well and come back to it weeks, nay, lifetimes later. We're trying to do our three words.
Perhaps somebody had listened to this as they were being cryogenically frozen. And then was just waking up, and they looked at their phone. And they thought, "What was I listening to when I went down?"
Yep.
And then this is—it's the year 9002.
They're just a slowly defrosting frontal lobe in a bain marie.
They just missed the nonalium party by 2 years.
The nonalium.
Yeah, that's what. You know how millennium is related to two in some way?
I'm going to party like it's 1999.
Yeah. 1999. 1999. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said 1999. But you know, mine has a better rhythm, but yours has the advantage of accuracy.
Yeah, but I liked the 1999.
But you know me, Alistair, all about rhythm. I got rhythm.
And you've got music.
Yeah, sometimes. So the words were?
Investigative goat portmanteau, as you would know from... I did write Goo Goo Gachu down, and that's where we were last at.
Goo Goo Gachu, I don't know how we got there, but I absolutely stand by it. I think... So obviously we discuss portmanteaus. An investigative goat is interesting because, as we all know, the dog has the advantage of its super ability to smell things, and that makes it very useful as a sniffer dog in investigations, sniffing out smells. Now,
sure, but a goat has the advantage of being able to stand on very tall things. And so, you know, on the shoulders of giants even.
Yep, probably.
I mean, maybe a goat would make a better scientist than it would a detective. And that's what this story is about.
And they have the ability to eat almost anything as well.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily maybe, in fact, the very low ability to taste, which is what allows them to eat such a large volume of stuff.
Maybe they can taste stuff, but they have a very open mind.
Oh, I love that. They have an open mouth and a gaping gullet. But more than that, it's their open mind that allows them to consume many, many things that other people would consider inedible. I do consider ghosts to be people.
Why they went into the police force, because they have a high tolerance for the unpalatable.
Mm. And diversity.
You mix with some unsavory types and also some unsweet types.
I think that a goat absolutely, because we've had many TV shows that focus on a dog. Who is a loyal companion to the detective. Now, but we've also had many buddy cop films in which there's one cop who does things by the rules and one cop who is a real maverick and, you know, is down to his last warning and he's going to bust your ass out of here faster than you can say, give me your badge, you know? And I think that we could combine these two elements. And we have one good cop, right, who does everything by the book, and then his buddy, who is a goat, who does not give a fuck.
Yeah, and because portmanteau does have also the words to wear and coat, I think the goat should be wearing a coat.
A goat coat, absolutely. And his name is Gruff. And the show is called Gruff. Sure.
McGruff, because the other guy's name is Muck. MC. A lot of people think that he's a MC, but it's actually Muck. And also,
yes.
Just
I think
because
that hard skull as well would really be an advantage.
Absolutely, and those tiny little nubby horns. Mm-hmm. But also, I think I don't know if I'm trying to read into what Stu McCone was trying to do with these three words, but. Mm. He said investigative goat portmanteau. I think he wants us to say investigative.
I think he does. I think he does. He's the best investigator we have on the force.
Yeah.
And
and so what kind of things would this guy solve?
Oh, anything. Or absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Stuff crime that goes all the way to City Hall.
Okay, so he's just out of the academy.
Well, is he just out of the academy? Because very often the maverick, he's sort of had a real long career, you know, and he's sort of almost got nothing left to lose.
But also you could get more people watching if you had like a child goat.
A kid.
I could imagine, a kid. He's just a kid. Then also, you know, you get more people watching, but also having the contrast between being old and gruffy and being just a tiny little goat that hops around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a real challenge for whoever's doing the animal wrangling, the goat, our goat guy. But I think everybody's going to be stepping up to the plate in this production.
Absolutely, and it won't be hard to get that goat to chew on a lit cigar. You know?
Cigar chomping. So he's just out of the academy, and he's already on his last warning. I love it. What a story. Yeah. He's just out of the academy, and he's also only 3 days away from retirement. It's everything. It's everything.
I mean, yeah, you could definitely do that if... Like, I mean, that I think I'm very happy for it to be that. I think that there's a way in which it could be like a fly could do that. Because, you know, because of the lifespan of a fly.
Yeah.
But, some sort of gnat. Some kind of mat?
Gnat. G-N-A-T.
Gnat. Yeah, are they closer to 3 days? Is a fly just 1 day?
I don't know. I think a fly, I feel like I've had flies in my house who've just been buzzing around, smashing against the walls for weeks. I mean... Yeah. I can't guarantee it's the same fly.
But they've got roughly the same sort of general attitude.
Well, then let's
do the... Towards walls and...
Let's maintain the possibility of doing a show that is a sort of a crossover between the movie The Fly and a sort of a buddy cop kind of a thing. And maybe, you know, even a cop and his buddy, who is a fly, become fused together, right? And the fly is just out of the academy, and the cop is 3 days away from retirement. And that's how he's able to be both at the same time. Also, the fly is going to die soon anyway, so... But, you know, it's called Hot Buzz.
So wait, Hot Buzz, but wait, so they are slowly becoming one, or like...
I think he's already basically just a fly.
Okay. and his partner is a goat?
All right, let's just go back to the goat idea. I just love it. I love it. I love the goat's attitude. I think we've introduced some interesting complications to what's already a challenging shoot. But that's how you make
But
great
I also
art.
Think but I think if they're, you know, if their partner was a humanoid fly man and they're both the bad boy in the you know, they're both bad cops.
Yep. Perfect.
It's bad cop and worse cop.
Mm-hmm. There's you know? Yeah.
You know, they've got you know, they've got they don't go by the book and they don't get and but they also don't get their man.
I think in The Fly he does as he's transforming, he does develop like really good senses or something like that. He gets like super smell or something. So
he becomes
that'd
really strong, isn't
well.
He able to yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
great.
Okay.
I think we did it, Al. Do you want to take us through the sketches that we've come up with this episode?
Yep, buddy. Cop. I mean, yeah.
I think, Gruff.
I want a good...
Or McGruff. I think just McGruff. And Mc is a fly, man.
Gruff and McFly?
Gruff and McFly. Yep. Perfect. Is it Marty McFly?
Marty McFly has been fused with.
Yeah,
he got into a teleportation device with the character from The Fly after he had turned into The Fly.
Yep, yeah, he's a real fly.
So he's
half,
actually
half
like he's
man,
not a,
half man fly.
Yeah.
So really, he's sort of three quarters man.
half Marty McFly. Half man, half fly.
I mean, if Saturday Night Live hasn't already at some point made a parody movie, you know, probably in the 80s, called The McFly, in which, you know, Marty McFly gets fused with a fly, going through the time travel machine with Doc Brown and has a disgusting transformation, but is still... incredibly charismatic and charming, and it's still a feel-good family film. You know, they really missed that opportunity.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely
thanks.
Right.
I think I am
well,
too.
I'm going to try to remember what some of these sketch ideas from yesterday are. We got common sense physics.
Yes, you Alistair's know? Course and what makes sense.
You know, it just makes more sense. And I can't remember what the original example was, but the other example was, you know, it's gravity. It just works. Well, it just does, because why would you float up into space? That's pretty stupid.
Yep.
That's weird. That's weird, and I don't like it.
Facts don't care about your feelings, but these we found some facts that do.
Yeah. I care about my feeling. I care about my feelings, and so I don't care about your facts.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Then there's distracting gravity with a phone, so we can when we want to shoot a plane, we're just going to get regular planes up there. That way, we won't have to use space shuttles or anything or rockets. Mm-hmm. We can give gravity some phone time, some screen time, so that it doesn't do its job as well. And that will give us a chance to get some just regular airplanes up into space.
Yes.
And we can go to the moon and things like that. And I know they won't really work all that well up in space, but if we get a good run up, I think We can get some pretty good speed. Maybe make it to the moon and slingshot back.
I think so. You just need that window. Just that window of opportunity. I just thought I'd put this out there. If anybody listens to this show and works on the Netflix children's show Storybots, firstly, great work. Fantastic show. Much better than Paw Patrol and a lot better than Super Wings. But if you do work on that show, man, please get in touch because I would love to work on Storybots. Thank you. Alistair, continue.
You know, if we're making outrageous job offers like that, can you just involve me in it?
Yeah.
I'd also like to work on it. Thank you. I just want you to know I haven't seen it yet, but I'm about to watch all of it.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And I love it already. Great. I'm in.
So that's a deal. We're agreed.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Thank you so much for that. We really needed that. then we got personification. Whoa.
Personification
of gravity pulling things down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of like it's a silent film, though.
Mm.
This could be a silent film. Isn't it?
It's black and white.
Yeah.
It's like sort of one of those 50s informational films about what gravity is, and they just have somebody playing the role of gravity.
Well, maybe it's just it's gravity's depressed for some reason because it's just doing its job. It's walking around doing its job. And I don't know why it's depressed, but we'll find a reason for it to be happy by the end. It's going to undergo a transformation, possibly due to something that affects the amount of matter on Earth.
Perfect. I was going to say that.
Yeah, great. We got throne made out of avocados.
Yes. Yep, yes, the hipster king of the avocado throne.
Yeah, in the temple of middle class wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, at the beginning when they built that, they were building it on a strong foundation, firm foundation. Mm. But oh boy. Mm. They weren't very forward thinking.
I think you could turn this into a bit of stand up, Alistair. I can see you turning this into a bit of stand up.
Maybe this next one I see is also a suspicious adult friend. You know, it's somebody who has anybody who wants to be their friend as an adult, you know, in their 30s, they suspect that they're definitely a spy trying to get information or an agent of foreign.
And they're right every single time.
Every single time, an agent of foreign influence.
Mm. There is no reason for anybody to want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We don't hang out. You don't just hang out in your 30s. You are either working on a project together or
you're depressed. You stay at home.
Or you're depressed, you stay at home, or you're just trying to get your kid to play with another kid.
Mm.
And that's why you're hanging out with this other person. Just so that your kid can hang out with their kid. And then
if the kid's not there, then that's a spy scenario.
Oh, yeah. And it could still be a spy scenario if they have a kid. It's the perfect cover.
Oh, my God. They're so smart.
And they're probably using that so that they can work on a project with you. That's what they're using. They're using the two reasons people would hang out.
It's just occurred to me that there's never... ever, ever a single child in James Bond, right?
Hmm.
You never see one. There's no child ever anywhere. And don't point out examples where I'm wrong. I'm not interested. Yeah. I'm telling you that there aren't.
What about,
and that's interesting to me because you'd think there could be a funny little bit with one.
Yeah, especially if I guess he finds out that one of them is his kid.
Exactly. And to be honest, most of them probably are.
Most kids. He's like Genghis Khan. Mm. I mean, do you remember the TV show, the cartoon, James Bond Jr.?
No, I don't.
Bond.
No.
My name's Bond. James Bond. Junior.
Can I just pitch something to you very quickly?
Yeah.
The Genghis Khan Academy. Okay? It's the Khan Academy. The guy who does the online educational illustrated videos about how to like do long division and the history of France. But it's Genghis Khan. And most of the information is about, you know, seeing your enemy slain and hearing the lamentations of his women.
Yeah, sacking cities.
Mm-hmm. Correct, decapitating.
And, you know, lighting straw roofs on fire.
Yes.
That was a big part. That was a big part of the past.
Oh, the straw
lighting
roof.
Other people's straw roofs on fire.
Yeah.
Do you want me, I'll write down Genghis Khan Academy.
Sure. Thank you. Is there anything else on the list?
You know there is.
Oh, there's the goat thing.
Yeah, that's what it is. Do you want to say
the goat,
it?
And then the goat thing.
It's Gruffin McFly.
Gruffin McFly. Investigative goat portmanteau. And just before we go into a song, let's just remind people that they can buy tickets to Teleport and they can buy tickets to Alistair Tremblay-Birchall Couldn't Be More Thrilled With Everything. And both of those things will make you happy. They'll make us happy. They will please the universe. Everything will be brought into balance.
It's a good way to support the show if you, you know, and get something back for a little something for you.
Yes, great a first date. For Daddy.
Great first date.
Indeed.
Great second date. Mm-hmm. Great last date.
Yes. It's a breakup show.
It's a great breakup show.
we leave a good sort of 3.5 minute gap about 2/3 of the way through the show. Normally the comedians will do a thing where like the show arcs down and the energy dips a little bit and like it's a bit sad or a bit more introspective. Well, what we've decided to do is it's more like a sort of a show and tell thing where you bring your own darkness and we just stop talking 2/3 of the way through the show and we let anyone in the show that wants to break up.
Yeah, it's really nice.
We set the scene. It's perfect. We've got some good breakup music.
Yeah. Snoopy dabba dooba dabba dooba dabba dooba dabba dooba dabba
dooba dabba dooba dabba dooba dabba dooba dabba dooba dabba dooba 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 dooba. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
We really do appreciate it.
It's crazy that you do. And
and I hope this wasn't too much of an ordeal based on everything that happened. We are Two in the Think Tank, and this has been That.
That, yeah. So you can find us at Two in Tank on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at AlistairTB on Twitter.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
Yeah, and I'm at A. Tremblay-Birchall on Instagram, and you can review us. You can donate to our Patreon if you like.
Thank
we love
you for everybody
it
who does that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We absolutely do love you more than
you
even
know who
we
you
do.
Are.
Yeah, and also you know who you aren't. You're not a bad
yes,
person.
And that's even more important.
That's right. take care of yourselves,
and we love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.